This is the Pet Podcast on Pets.ca, episode number 34. What do vets learn about nutrition in vet school anyway? Hey there, pet lovers! How's it going? And welcome to the 34th Pet Podcast on Pets.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and today is December 17, 2007. For today's show, we're going to answer a question that has been lingering on our bulletin board for quite some time, and that is, what do vets learn about nutrition when they go to vet school? And you know what? Today, I decided to put that question to rest by actually getting a fourth-year vet student on the show, and we're going to talk about, you know, what vet students learn at vet school. But before we do that, I'd like to take this moment to thank Esther for her positive comments on our last podcast, the number 33, where we talked about bad foods for cats and dogs and foods that you should avoid. And Esther thought that she gained quite a lot of good information from the podcast and specifically appreciated the link that we put to the ASPCA's list of foods to avoid. So thanks so much for that comment. As always, we love comments. So as always, you can comment on the blog itself, www.pets.ca/blog. Or you could just, you know, send me an email directly, pets.ca@gmail.com. Or of course, you can just make your way to the forums on pets.ca and post a comment in the podcasting subforum. Before we get into the interview, today's positive pet story, it's a couple of weeks old, but I wanted to mention it anyway because Pussy Willow is a 26-year-old cat from Shropshire, UK, and 26 is possibly a record. Holy moly, that's one old cat. But Pussy Willow seems to be enjoying her last days. And a few years back, she actually got into a fight with a fox. And her owners adopted her after that fight. And basically, the owner's dogs, once they heard the ruckus from outdoors, the owner went outside with her dogs. And the dogs scared off the fox who had Pussy Willow in her mouth. So, holy moly, these dogs have kind of adopted Pussy Willow, and so has the family. The cat was feral for many, many years, and it's just a great story, you know, cat that lives to be 26 and lives its final days under the care of all kinds of owners and animal protectors. It's just a great story. Links, of course, will go into the show notes, as well as an interview with the owner so you can actually hear the voice. And, you know, just wanted to give a pause up to Pussy Willow and her owners and the dogs for, you know, giving a cat's sunset years just, you know, an amazing retirement. So pause up. So now we're going to get into an interview that we did about a week ago with Amy Chung. She's written a couple of articles for us on pets.ca, and she was gracious enough to, you know, talk about what she's learned, her personal experiences learning about pet nutrition, and, you know, her honest comments about the quantity of what they learn in vet school, and, you know, just some practical advice that she has to give. So let's get right into it now. I'd like very much to welcome Amy Chung to our show today. Amy has written for us before, and she is a fourth-year student at the Ontario Veterinary College in Guelph, Ontario. And today we thought we were going to talk about a topic that is very interesting to a lot of our bulletin board members that are really into dog food and cat food and nutrition in general. A lot of people are interested in this topic. You know, sometimes research can be garnered from different places, and I kind of wanted to talk to Amy about what veterinarians are learning in vet schools. So first off, hi there, Amy. Welcome to the Pet Podcast.
Hi, Marco. Thank you for having me.
It's a total pleasure. I guess, you know, a lot of people are interested, like we mentioned, they're really into pet food. These are like really good pet owners we have coming to our site wanting to feed their pets the best food possible. So I guess straight up, how much do veterinarians learn about nutrition in veterinary school?
As a general consensus of our class, we feel that we really don't get enough nutrition classes. Having said that, we do have about, in total, 45 to 50 hours of class time with a nutrition specialist, a professor that comes in who just teaches us about nutrition. Still, it doesn't feel like enough because, I mean, the rest of our curriculum with medicine and surgery, it's a big bulk of our teaching. is based on that stuff, because it's, that's the most of it. But unfortunately, for lack of time, lack of funding, I guess we just don't have the time to go through nutrition as much as we would like. And it's our general, in general, we feel like we wish we had more of it, because it's a problem that comes up quite frequently. I mean, clients ask us about that all the time. So we think it's important for sure.
Right, right. And again, just to be fair, I mean, probably some clients are going to ask about that all the time, but probably a lot of clients are not. Probably they're only going to come to you only when there's, you know, an emergency or a trauma or for regular checkups. Do you have any guesses, or just like, you know, based on personal experience, how many people are asking vets about nutrition or nutrition questions in general?
I would say about a third to a half of clients that come in will ask the veterinarian, oh, is the food that I'm feeding Fluffy okay? What do you think about this brand of food? Or they might have a specific question about their particular diet that they're on.
Okay, well, that's really interesting, actually. You know, I would have thought actually it would be less, and I guess it's actually encouraging for me to hear that people are indeed asking more nutrition questions than I had imagined. So again, I guess it kind of just reiterates your view that, that vets could possibly be getting more information about pet food in general, because maybe if it's 50 or 60 hours in 4 years, no, that's even too much, right? It's not even that much, is it?
Closer to 50, yeah.
50 hours in in 4 years.
Yeah.
And then once you touch on it, do you touch, in what year do you touch on it? And do you refresh about it? Like, let's say you learn about it in year one and then you don't touch it again in year four. How does that work?
We talk about it in year, third year.
Okay.
And then we touch upon it in more detail in fourth year. We get laboratories as well, and we discuss one-on-one with the professor to answer all our questions, and he's a really great resource for us, as well as we have a really great textbook on it, which doesn't seem like a lot. I mean, oh, it's a textbook, but it actually is really good in terms of answering clinical problems, specific cases that we might have that need special nutritional care.
And of course, it goes beyond what, you know, the layperson is going to understand, hopefully breaking down nutrition into its component parts, you know, good proteins, bad proteins, percentage of water per, you know, dry food and wet food, things of that nature. Do you guys cover stuff like that?
Yep. Yes, we do. Yeah. We learn a bit also about pet food labels and how to read them and how to educate our clients about that as well.
And another question, I'm just going to get right into it and ask it. I know some people have suggested this before, that actual courses are sponsored by pet food companies. Does this happen?
Nope, the courses themselves that we're taking are not. Our professor comes from a separate institute that doesn't have any sponsoring or biases.
Right.
Having said that, we do have lunchtime optional lectures that are sponsored by pet food companies that come to us as to introduce a new diet that they might have, or to talk to us about a veterinary specialty diet that they already have on the market, because we'll be seeing those diets in the clinics when we start to work.
So there is, I guess, marketing in that respect, but no course is being sponsored by, you know, a major pet food label.
Yes, that's right. We don't have any sponsoring for our actual course.
And I like just curious, let's say, you know, a vet student really was super interested in pet foods and they asked these people that are sponsoring the luncheon information session, you know, really in-depth questions. Do they answer questions for you as well, or is it mostly a marketing pitch type thing?
They do answer questions about it as well. They do know about their diet or whatever topic they're talking to us about. Sometimes they talk to us about nutrition topics in general as well, so it's not always a product that they come to us about. But yeah, in general, they are quite educated. Having said that, they're not always veterinarians that come to talk to us. Sometimes they are just a marketing director or a person, but sometimes it is a professor that is in the nutrition industry as well.
Good, honest answer. Thanks for that. I have another question. Given that a lot of pet people are into, you know, knowing about that nutrition, and sometimes their vets may not know as much as, you know, as other resources, just because there is so much to know, let's say, and as you mentioned, nutrition isn't on the highest end of the scale of what you guys are studying. Do you have any suggestions or sources where people should be doing their own research? Are there like... either websites or other books that you guys get for extra information on nutrition?
Yes, actually, Marco, we do have a great book that I would highly recommend. I totally understand how clients feel when they go to their veterinarian because they feel that the veterinarian should be their number one source for information about their pet, and it's too bad that some of them don't know as much as we would like to know about it. But I could highly recommend a book called Clinical Nutrition in Small Animals. Don't have the exact author, but it should be...
Sorry. No. Actually, that's fine. That's fine.
Like that? Okay.
Yeah. With the title, I'll put a link into the show notes. Like, just so we know, is this is geared toward the layperson or is it geared toward the veterinary person?
Okay. Yeah. It is. It's easy to read for lay people as well.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay. So I'll definitely find that link and put it in the show notes. Really, you're also definitely advocating that people who are concerned about their pet's nutrition do their own research, right? I mean, are they often going to be unsatisfied with the answers their vets are going to give them?
Not necessarily. I do caution that people be careful about what source they're getting their information from. If there's any questions that they have about nutrition, I recommend going to their veterinarian and double-checking with them if their source is good or not. I mean, there's tons of information out there. A lot of it is really good, especially on the internet. However, there are sites that are not backed up by research, and that's, I feel, is a very important part of pet foods. I mean, it has to be researched to make sure that it is balanced and it contains all the nutrients it should. So there are a lot of sources out there, but being careful about the sources that you're looking at, and ensuring that the food that you are buying is backed up by research of some sort to make sure that it is balanced and healthy for your pet.
I mean, that's actually a pretty good point. I mean, you know, like some of our vets don't know enough about the nutrition, so we may choose to go to the internet for advice, but it needs to be backed up with something. Just because, you know, someone is saying that Fluffy did really well when she had a kidney problem on brand X, that definitely does not mean that you should go out and buy brand X. I mean, that's just one person's opinion, maybe based on fact, maybe based on error. There's no real research there. That's just hearsay kind of thing. We need more substance, right? If we're going to do our own research, especially for our pets, we need more substance than just one person's opinion. So I think that's where, not to promote our forum so much, let's say, but people do share their individual experiences collectively. You know, people do tend to talk about the choices that they're going to make with their vet. So let's say their vet recommends brand X, and they don't necessarily think that that's the best idea based on their own research. They can, of course, discuss a plan with their vet based on the information that they've garnered, especially if it has to do with one specific illness or one specific ailment or reason why they want to change foods or get a better food. Then, you know, even though their vet may not be the expert in pet food, they, of course, are still a veterinarian and still know how pet bodies work with regard to general levels of nutrition. Wow, that was long-winded. But I think I'm basically agreeing with you that people need to do some research and not just take one person's word for it. You know, do some serious research, a few hours of research if you're thinking about really changing your pet's food or trying other foods for your pet.
Oh, that's right. I'm really happy to hear that people are really so happy and eager to go into research to look at their pet's food. It's a great thing, and I highly encourage it because it's great to know what you're feeding your pet, right? It's really a lot of effort on their part, and it's wonderful that they're going into such lengths to do so. I mean, I'd highly encourage, though, that they talk to their veterinarian about their findings and what they think, whether or not it is nutritionally balanced. I mean, word of mouth is really important as well. It's really, it's the best advertising there is out there, right? And so one person hears, oh, yes, this diet is very good for my dog, and hence why it'll be great for yours. But that may not necessarily be true, like you said. Some foods really are not backed up by food trials and real research evidence that it is a good diet. As well, if your pet has a medical problem that needs to be addressed, certain diets really may be bad for them. So it should be a good idea to check up with the vet to make sure that the diet that you are choosing is appropriate for your pet's lifestyle or their medical condition. So.
And to be fair as well, you know, people that are doing their own really specialized research I mean, vets are busy people too, and we'd like to think that vets know everything because they're doctors, but I mean, if we compare to even a human doctor, a human family doctor is not going to know everything about, you know, the whole body. If someone is interested in researching, you know, something that is important to them, of course, they can teach their human doctor something, and just like they can teach their veterinary, professional something as well. We're not all experts in everything, and just because they're the veterinarian and you're not, I don't think veterinarians should be too proud to take new information, if it's good information, from anyone.
That's right. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
I think that can be a problem for some people, and we've heard it on the board too, where some vets are proud and they don't want to take advice because they think they're the vet, but in reality, the stuff that they learned is now maybe very outdated, and maybe they haven't learned anything about nutrition in 5, 10, 15 years, and as we well know, things are changing all the time. So, I mean, I'm glad to hear that that you're into the concept of, you know, getting knowledge wherever you can, you know, even if it doesn't come from a veterinary professional, someone that's done some research. If it's valuable research, it's valuable research. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's I like to hear it when clients come to me and tell me that they've been doing research, because that means they really do care for their pet and are willing to put the time into learning about what they're feeding their pet. I mean, it takes a lot of time to research anything, so it's amazing that they do care so much about it. And I'm open to learning about new things and educating the both of us.
Excellent. I mean, I think we'd all like to hear these types of answers from our vet. You know, just if we're all open to learning, we're all going to learn much more at the end of the day. That's for sure. And the last question we got for you, Amy, before we conclude, I guess when you look at a pet food label, you basically see a different level of information than, you know, the average person that doesn't know anything about pet foods. What can you tell us about reading pet food labels?
In terms of pet food labels, a lot of people will look at the ingredient list before purchasing a food, which is great. The ingredient list has a lot to tell us. However, it could be sometimes misleading because the ingredient list goes as a as-is basis, meaning that it lists the ingredients in terms of their weight during processing. So, for example, an ingredient list could say meat and then rice and flour. And so you would assume that meat, since it's the first ingredient listed, comprises most of the food. That may not necessarily be true because meat during processing has water, more water than flour or rice, so it weighs more. And therefore, on the list, they can put it first. However, in the real food, it may not be the first ingredient or the most percentage of the food. So you do have to look at what is also important is the nutrient composition of the food, meaning the fat percentage, the mineral percentage, the carbohydrate percentage, and each species as well, like a dog or a cat, or each animal individually may have different requirements. For example, a pregnant cat will have a different requirement than a older dog, for example. So for topics like that, you could certainly talk to your veterinarian about looking at that pet food label with you, if you have any questions about it, and determining whether or not it is an appropriate diet for your pet. As well, it's important to look at or purchase a food that is appropriate for the life stage of your pet. And what I mean by that is, if it's a kitten, buy a kitten food. If it's an older adult, buy an adult mature formula. And the reason for that is because at different life stages, the pets have different nutrient requirements. For example, a kitten will require more protein and fat and energy level in their diet than an adult cat. Yeah, that's my biggest advice that I can give to anybody for pet food labels.
And that's actually pretty good advice. I'm just wondering, do you know, I mean, if it says the pre-processed weight, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, does it say in small print somewhere on the bag that it's the pre-processed weight?
It may not.
It may not, eh?
No, it may not. It's not required. There are very few actual requirements that need to be on the bag by law. There's only a few requirements that need to be on a bag before it could go to market.
It can be definitely misleading in many cases. Like you say, in human foods, we tend to see the first ingredient as being the most prevalent. And if that's not the case, I don't know this for a fact, but probably with human food, there's a small asterisk somewhere that says, you know, this weight is calculated pre-processed. But on a bag of pet food, where the laws are much more lax, there's, you know, a lot of there's a lot of loose laws when it comes to pet food, as a lot of people feel. They can easily be misled if there's no fine print telling you what the truth is.
That's right. That's right, Marco. I mean, you could sometimes it would say with little asterisks, it is as a as is basis. But does anybody know what that really means? You know, unless you actually go into research and learn about it, you think as is. Oh, that sounds good. It does, right? It sounds to you like, oh yeah, that's how it is. It does an as is basis, but it does actually include the water.
Yeah, and that term as is has been, you know, verified and checked through 10 lawyers to make sure that they can probably use as is. That's my bit of an aside rather than yours. So I think that's actually a really good primer, Amy. Thanks so much for that. You know, basically read the labels, research, you know, by yourself, research through either our forum or other forums or other websites where, you know, advice is given as to pet foods. And don't necessarily take your vet's word as gospel. Do your own research and then discuss the results with your vet and, you know, basically try and find a food that you can all agree on and feel that is really good for your pet. Would you kind of agree with that, Amy?
For sure, for sure.
Cool. Thanks so much for doing this podcast with us. Totally appreciate it. I know a lot of people were wondering, what exactly do vets learn? And, you know, maybe in different veterinary schools, it's different, but I would suspect that a lot of veterinary schools are similar to your own, especially here in Canada. I would probably guess that a lot of the curriculum is going to be similar. Do you know offhand if that, in fact, is the case?
Across Canada, I do know that it is quite similar, yes. And I do believe they also have a nutrition specialist that comes in to speak to them as well. Can't say much about, comment much about the United States. I'm not sure how their program works. Across Canada, yes.
Cool. So thanks so much for doing this podcast with us, Amy. We wish you the best of luck in your last year. And maybe when you get your license, you'll be on the show again.
Thank you, Marco. It has been a pleasure today.
Thanks again, Amy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So I'd like to thank Amy Chung for that very honest interview about what current vet students are learning about nutrition and what she herself thinks about what she's learning and the quantity of what she's learned. Our next pet podcast, I think we're going to return with an interview with Dr. Lee, and we're going to talk about kidney disease in both dogs and cats, a very serious and unfortunately common ailment for both cats and dogs, and we're sure to learn some important information. So thanks for listening, everyone, and as always, please give your pets a sweet, delicious hug, and as always, a little scratchy under the chin from Marco. Bye for now. Oh, my God.